Hello and welcome to the Badger Talks podcast, the podcast that shares interviews with experts from the University of Wisconsin-Madison community about their work, research, and a little bit about what they're like as people, too. I'm your host, Buzz Kemper, and today's program is the second in a two-part series on Odyssey Project. We're calling this episode Stories of Courage, the Odyssey Project. Odyssey is a program which offers University of Wisconsin-Madison humanities classes for adult students facing economic barriers to college. The majority of students that participate in the Odyssey course are from racial and ethnic minority groups and are often overcoming the obstacles of single parenthood, homelessness, drug and alcohol addiction, incarceration, depression, and domestic abuse. Odyssey students report transformative outcomes, and some have even moved from homelessness to bachelor's and master's degrees. Students also say that they read more to their children, feel better about their own future, and are better advocates for their children in school. In this program, we're exploring how Odyssey has helped students tap into their courage and take control of their lives. And I'm happy to have as my guests the director of UW Odyssey Project, Emily Auerbach, and two courageous Odyssey Project alums, Hazue Walada and Renee Robinson. So Emily Auerbach, I want to start with you. First of all, welcome back to Audio for the Arts. I mean, it's we have this great history from Courage to Write. And what was your other project?
Well, just different things with Wisconsin Public Radio that sometimes you've been the sound guy for.
Right. Well, it's terrific to have you back. And congratulations on this project. I've been reading up about how the Odyssey Project works and the amazing things that people are able to accomplish. And so I want to hear stories from Hazue and Renee, but I want to start with you just telling us what is Odyssey Project? How did it begin? And give us the baseline so that we know about this wonderful program.
Sure. Well, the UW Odyssey Project is in its 21st year of providing a free jumpstart course in the humanities for adults with financial difficulties. We have helped now more than 600 students change their lives, going sometimes from homelessness to master's degrees, from incarceration to jobs in the community. Whole lives, whole families, whole generations are transformed. It's partly because my passion for it is partly because both my parents came out of poverty through a free college in Kentucky.
I did not know
that. How if you open the door for one member of a family like my mom from Appalachia with no running water, or my father as a survivor of the Holocaust coming as a refugee, that if you provide free access to college, dreams can come true in so many ways. And one of the things that I've noticed over the two decades of doing the Odyssey Project is the courage of our students and the amazing voices that they have. And, you know, the two students here today for this program with you are good examples of the kinds of courage, the resilience, the overcoming of obstacles that I've seen. For example, Renee, tell us your background. You're now, you know, on our Friends of Odyssey board and everything, but tell us when you came into Odyssey.
I came into Odyssey in 2008. However, prior to that, I was living in Chicago. I was a teenage mom, so I had my first son at 16, got married at 17, and had my second son at 18, and throughout that marriage is because I was so young, not to make excuses, but it was rough, it was rocky, and there was domestic violence involved. And so my sister had moved to Madison, and she knew what I was going through and suggested that I move here. And so there was a time in my life that I moved here in December of 1998, and just started to live a life that I had never had, never, you know, having that time to go to college and grow and to learn myself. So this was an opportunity to learn myself. So fast forwarding, I became a member of Mount Zion Baptist Church, and Malele Chikasa Anana mentioned Odyssey to me. And I did research, found out about it, applied, and got accepted. And it has just transformed my life, especially in regards to writing, having a voice, not being able to speak and explain to people about how I was feeling on the inside. Odyssey released that. So that is a short version of my Odyssey journey.
Wow. The topic that we have chosen to be an umbrella to this particular program is courage. So you're a young woman, you're in a violent domestic situation and probably in a poverty situation.
Yes.
And then you find yourself here and you apply for the Odyssey Project. What did you have to go through internally to even tell yourself, I can do this, or this is something I can try for? I think a lot of people would find their situation hopeless. It would be so easy to just give up. How did you not give up?
I think attending church, Mount Zion, finding a church, mm-hmm. finding solace, finding group support mm-hmm. around me, and always on the inside wanting to know more, mm-hmm. wanting to have knowledge, you know, thinking back about the things that I didn't do, you know, kind of like that guilt about you didn't, you know, weren't able to do this, weren't able to do that. And so I thought that this would be an opportunity to jumpstart, you know, my education. And another thing about Madison is a college town.
Yes.
Everybody's in school. Everybody's learning. Everybody's, you know, wanting to go. So when you're in that atmosphere, you know, around people, especially at my church, you know, that was motivating too. Mm. So just the desire, I had a desire to want to be better, to want to know more, and to want to become the person on the inside that I always wanted to be.
And you are now a writer and a singer. Yeah, terrific. And is it stories, poetry? What kind of writing are you mainly interested in?
I'm interested in all types of writing, but do I want to say truth? Mm. Documentaries?
Oh, yes.
Knowledge? Mm-hmm. More, you know? Finding out, I love history, mm-hmm. I love politics, and so being able to journal and write these things and put my expressions to them is so fulfilling. Mm-hmm. It is so fulfilling, and it gives me the strength and the courage to move forward in a positive manner, not to be distracted by all of the things around us mm-hmm. that can be so very distracting. Yeah. And so that's motivating. That's a motivation for me.
Oh, terrific. Well, truth is a valued commodity in this age of alternative facts. So so thank you for pursuing that.
Yes.
Great. And Emily, I'm going to ask you to introduce our other guest, Hazui.
Sure. And so we have had in Odyssey students from many parts of the globe, mm. and not just from Madison and Chicago, but from all over. Hazui is a good example of that, and his story, which I learned when he was part of Odyssey, of how he came from his country, Togo, all the way to Madison, inspired me as a perfect example of courage. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about what you did to get an education?
I read a little bit about this. And I can't wait to hear this from your own mouth, because this is quite a story. Yeah.
Okay. I'm from Togo, and Togo is one of the smallest country in West Africa. And I'm from a small village in north of Togo called Kumeya. So when I was 7 years old, my village, a tragedy hit the village, you know, from malaria epidemic, and we lost almost half of the population. And within those lost, my cousins that perished. And since then, I felt a little bit guilty. I said, okay, nothing. There's nobody to help us, you know, nothing has been done. We don't have any healthcare system. We didn't have any clinics and no hospital in that small village. So I, as one morning, I told myself, you know what? I want to be a doctor. I want to do something about this. This is not going to keep happening, because if we don't take this matter in our own head, in our own hand, who will? So I took upon myself, and I went to talk to my dad. I told him, Dad, you know, I want to go to school. I want to become this doctor and come and, you know, build a clinic for our people, because if you don't do that, nobody's not going to do it. So mm-hmm. we don't want this thing to happen again, you know, in the future. So we got to do something about it. Mm-hmm. First of all, my dad even laughed a little bit.
He's, I was going to ask, did he support that, or how did he react to that?
He laughed. He laughed, wow. Because he know that the nearest school was 30 miles away. Mm. And we don't have any passage, like any route connecting our village to that school. So to go to the school, you have to go through, you know, bushes, mountain, and climbing, all that. And like I said, back round trip will be 30 miles. And he told me that, he reminded me about that, you know, road, and, you know, what the danger and everything. And I convinced him, I told him, I can do this. And I back up my argument with what happened with our cousin and all that. Nobody's going to care. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, you know what? You can do it. But, you know, as a male child in African community in a village, so there's a lot of chores to be done before you leave in the morning. So that means doing, like, getting up very early in the morning, getting firewood, fresh water from the stream, take care of the animal, like I'm talking about the goat and all that. And he said, if I can do that before, I can go. And I started that journey.
So tell me about your schedule then. So you had to get up, take care of the animals.
Yes.
And then walk. And it was
15 miles. So when I go in the morning, I stay there until dawn and then walk back.
And I think you were barefoot with your feet bleeding.
Yeah, it was
bleeding.
Barefoot too.
You were barefoot.
You were barefoot too, bleeding.
Wow. That's almost unimaginable. That's, yes. And this is, and then how long was the school day then? How long?
The school finished around 5 p.m.
Okay.
5 p.m.
And then you'd walk back after?
I walk back after that. So when I, you know, we didn't have any clock per se, but I would say if I have to estimate the time, roughly when I was coming home, like I was coming home around like probably around 8 to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Because it was so long, and, you know, sometimes I even run sometimes.
Yeah.
to the bushes.
Yeah. I mean, 15 miles. I think that would take me, at my pace, I think that would take me, four and a half or 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, wow, that is amazing. And I want to ask too about this malaria outbreak that you mentioned. Was malaria a constant threat in your village?
Yeah.
Or was this a sudden outbreak that was out of nowhere?
It was out of nowhere, because as somebody who lives in the village, because we don't have any healthcare system, is after war, after the epidemic, and mm-hmm. since we have a lot of death, and the official have to come see what's going on, and then that's what they determine after the test, it was malaria.
Okay.
Because in our village, like I mentioned, we have a lot of stream going on, and then there's no kind of healthcare personnel to advocate, tell you, okay, this is what you have to do to chase with mosquitoes and all that. So because we have a lot of mosquito present in the area.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
Okay. Well, and now that you're here, then you got here, and then how did you get connected with the Odyssey Project?
Yeah, so before, like, I left the village, so like I told you, after going through that journey, I was among the like excellent students, mm-hmm. and I graduated from the elementary school, and I got a scholarship to go to the town to go to high school, and mm-hmm. I was so excited. So I went to high school. And while I was there, every year in America, they give an opportunity to 50,000 people to immigrate to the United States through lottery called visa lottery. So the luck was on my side.
Yes, I guess.
I said, I was chosen one, and I won the lottery, and I got an opportunity to come to Madison. And coming in Madison, I thought everything would be great. I was 17 at that time with no family, like in La French being the background, and it was really hard because I didn't know where to go. So it was really hard, but through good people here in Madison, and that I call now my home, and they opened the door for me, and I was there with them. And when I came here and the reality hit me, I put my dream on hold. I put my dream on hold. I said, okay, it's not gonna happen. Like, I was losing the hope for me becoming a doctor, becoming like physician. And, you know, it took me a while because you have to settle, establish, and, you know, which the reality of United States is there. And where I was staying, the good family who received me, where I was staying, they said, oh, since you love school and you have the, there's a course, like there's a program at UW called Odyssey. No, I think you might be a good fit for it. Mm-hmm. Take a look at it. And yeah. I did. And, you know, fortunately, I got accepted and I was overjoyed. And what I did, and I went home, when I got a call from Emily that day, like, I said, that's it. I went home and then I took my dream from wherever it was and then dust it. I said, okay. We are on again, so.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so. Amazing! Wow, oh geez, I could talk to you both all day. We're listening to, by the way, to Hezui Walada, who is just telling us his story. And before that, we were hearing from Renee Robinson. For those of you who are just tuning in, and Emily Auerbach, my old friend, who's dealing with all of this stuff. Somehow you. So tell me about how you came up with, because you basically invented this, right? This is your thing.
We're modeled after the Clemente course in the humanities and Berea College, where my parents got a free education. But I have to say, you know, hearing Renee and Hezui talk, you know, I get these goosebumps. And
yeah.
If you imagine 600 students now, and more than that, because we have Odyssey Junior, Odyssey Senior, an Odyssey program for veterans, and an Odyssey program in four prisons as well. But Hezui, you know, just last week, I think it was, got yep. accepted into the, he has his UW bachelor's degree
yeah.
now, and just got accepted into the master's in public health program. Terrific. While he's studying to take the MCATs and apply to medical school. He's going to combine both. And that is, you know, perfect example of just the transformation that you can see is possible.
Yeah.
If you give people the opportunity and the encouragement and the support.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad that the sort of umbrella title to all this is courage, because I can't imagine, you know, the I've talked to people who grew up in the little town I grew up in, and I remember one guy telling me about how he didn't have a lot of money, but he pulled himself up by the bootstraps, and I kind of rolled my eyes because the guy's father was the mayor of the town. Oh. I mean, he had really nice bootstraps.
Hezui didn't even have the shoes.
Right? No, right. He didn't even have the shoes to put the bootstraps in. Yeah. It's just, it's just absolutely, absolutely amazing. So we've got some of the background story. So I'm going to go back to you, Renee, and ask, so where are you now? You've got a leadership position now within the project, right? And so tell us about where you're at now and where you're going.
Wow. Well,
big questions.
That is a big question. Because my life changed November, 2022. So I was in property management for 24 years.
Okay.
And I was assistant property manager, and then I became property manager of a community of 7 buildings, 326 apartments, had about 6 or 7 staff. So I'm feeling good.
Wow.
But the family that owned the property sold the property.
Mm-hmm.
And the new company didn't retain me. So my life at my age, because I'm older, I'm 64, and that's happening at 62. So now my life has totally changed.
You, by the way, you don't count as older because you're a couple years younger than me. So anyway.
So this is like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, I'm older. There is discrimination in age. You know, how am I going to find a job? What am I going to do? And just the courage that I had gained with the help of Odyssey, you know, I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it. And so I hadn't written a resume. In forever.
Right.
You know, the only bad thing about Renee getting a job back is she stopped being able to come to Odyssey Senior in the morning because now she was employed
now
again.
Now she's got a job. But right.
She also did win our Why Vote contest, which we do every couple of years. Yeah, we push voting, and she is a very inspiring alumni.
They offer classes too, continuing education classes. So I've taken creative writing, I've taken English 101, I'm now taking History 109. Mm-hmm. And you know, these also help you to continue to keep your mind, mm-hmm. you know, fresh and creative. Keep those creative juices flowing.
Right. Terrific. Well, and I want to mention, too, just because of our little personal connection that we just discovered this morning,
yes.
is that you sing in the Mount Zion Gospel Choir. I am the sound engineer for the Madison Symphony Orchestra, and we perform together for the Madison, what's called a Madison Christmas, the big Christmas concert every year. It's not surprising that we hadn't met, because when I'm out there at the console, I'm looking at probably 600 people on that stage.
Yes.
So I don't get to know everybody's name, but it's nice to know you now. And so it's Hizui, tell us, what are you, where are you at now? Are you in medical school, headed toward medical school? What's your present and your future?
Currently, I'm studying for the MCAT, and like Emily said, I just got admitted to UW School of Medicine and Public Health, where I'm going to start with my master's in public health.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So my hope and ambition is to combine MD and MPH as my background is to try to improve the healthcare system. So getting my foot into MPH is kind of the hallmark of the whole anti-hacker system, learning about how we can improve things. So
MPH is?
Master of Public Health.
Of Public Health. Okay, great. Thank you. I wasn't familiar with that, those initials.
And in addition to doing the master's in public health and studying to get into medical school, after that, he started his own foundation that's already helping to fund programs in Africa.
Wow.
Yes.
The ambition of you.
Yes.
I tell you, I feel like I'm going to have to start getting up earlier and doing. I thought I was busy. Now this might be given all that the two of you are doing. This might be the silliest question ever. But I also like to know, in addition to educational goals and professional goals, what do you do for fun? We got a couple minutes left. What do you like to do when, if you ever have free time? I don't know if you do.
For fun, I like to listen to music. I love music, and I like reading. I like to read a lot, and that's what I spend my time doing, or listen to music.
Okay, terrific. And quickly, name a couple of artists you like, because obviously I'm a studio owner, I'm a music guy. Name a couple of artists that you particularly enjoy.
I enjoy listening to Frédéric Chopin.
Okay,
which is what do you call it? Pianist.
Yes,
Frédéric
yes.
Chopin, and I also like urban music. Like I like to listen to Rihanna.
Yes. Great.
Great.
I love people who have a wide, a wide
when
range
I listen
of
to
taste.
Rihanna, like some lyrics and melody in background, and sometimes there are some words that
yes
touches you, like touch you and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I like everything that is music.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't really have like favorite.
Yeah. I enjoy those artists as well. And I remember when I was working at Minnesota Public Radio, there was a music aficionado there, especially a keyboard aficionado. And I remember he was the one who introduced me to Frédéric Chopin.
Yeah.
And he made the sort of pronouncement, which I've never forgotten. He said, had no other composer written a single note for the instrument, Chopin alone would justify the existence of the piano.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that's a big statement, but it's kind of true.
Yeah.
Renee, what do you, I know you sing in a choir for fun.
I sing for fun. I mean, spiritually. And I've loved singing since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
I just have always loved gospel music. Years ago, I did skating and bowling. I was pretty roller skating, and I enjoyed those. But right now, since I've gotten older, I love rest and relaxation.
Yeah, yes, well,
my favorite thing to
terrific,
do now.
Terrific.
Is, you know, and I love politics, and I'm really staying on top of what is going on now.
Yeah.
So that does occupy a lot of my free time in the evening, but family is most important to me now, and spending time talking with my children and my grandchildren that who are not here, but my fun is pretty limited. But yes, family, singing, and rest and relaxation.
Terrific. Thank you so much. This has been fascinating. I really, this is a conversation I wish we could go for an hour and a half, but I've really learned a lot, and thank you for not only for being on this program, but just for what you're doing for yourselves, which is helping, you know, make our community a better place and the world a better place. It's just it's absolutely wonderful. Renee Robinson and Hezue Welada and Emily Auerbach, thanks to all of you.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to the Badger Talks podcast. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with director of UW Odyssey Project Emily Auerbach and Odyssey Project alums Hezue Welada and Renee Robinson. Please browse our previous episodes for other topics that may be of interest to you. The Badger Talks podcast is a creation of UW Connects and produced at Audio for the Arts Recording Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our music is composed by Julian Olson and performed by the UW Marching Band. I'm Buzz Kemper. Thank you for listening.